John Price. What's happening, my man?
God, you know, I got it going on this morning, Box.
You're looking good.
Well, thank you.
In big cases today?
I leave here for a deposition right down the street here at another law firm. Client has some permanent scarring, sad to say, from a drunk driver.
Oh, so,
yeah, and a couple more things on this afternoon, but I've got a deposition here right about an hour when I finish with you. So I'm not even going to go back to North Charleston office. I'm just going to drive right over here to the defense firm and hang out in our conference
room. You're always
and,
working. You're
and
always...
Review and read. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, right. Well...
it's that simple, but...
Sadly, a lot of folks can suffer permanent injuries, death, and all of that with distracted driving. Some new polls have come out, including a driver safety public opinion poll during this distracted driving awareness month. John Price, you see these kind of figures all the time. Probably a lot of this won't shock you.
No, it doesn't. The National Safety Council once again conducted a driver safety public opinion poll back in February, and we can now refer to it since it's distracted driver awareness month here in April. But, you know, I think what's surprising, the conclusion I draw from it, is whenever I look over and read it, is that we really tend to overestimate our ability behind the wheel when we're doing things that are distracting. And it's kind of like Newton's law of physics. For every act of distraction, there is a reaction by misaction, so which greatly results in a lot of harm. But for example, 47%, which I mean, that's, you might as well say it's a half, right? One out of every two, basically, drivers believe that it's safe to send a text either manually or by a voice dictation system while they're driving. They just flat out say, well, that's okay. There's nothing dangerous about that. 45% feel like they have pressure from their employers to react immediately to text messages and emails and so forth while they're behind the wheel. But 44%, a very similar number to 45, right?
I'm
little distinction there.
You're pretty sharp this morning, I'll tell you.
But 44% say that they have had an accident in the last 3 years, that they've crashed, as in their words, while they were either commuting or traveling for business. So is there a relationship between those accidents happening while they were actually responding to emails and texts? Very similar numbers for sure. I think it's safe to say that probably a good many did.
Maybe a little correlation.
Yeah, there may be a correlation.
We get to the teens, and it's pretty startling for them as well.
Well, you know, the thing that is, like, 17% of them feel that their own distraction may have contributed to a crash. And again, I'm getting back to this overestimating. But the teens are finding it hard to admit. it seems like they're doing something at the time, but they don't want to admit by the poll that it's a distraction. So, again, our concept of distraction, I think, is what's changing. And I didn't do the intense psychological studies or if there's any clinical research out there, but to me, just from human nature, I think we've gotten so used to distraction that now we're greatly underestimating
our distraction. We've just integrated it as part of our lives. We're always in touch.
Times have changed, communication has changed, but the human body's the same, man. We've got the same set of eyes and same ears that we had hundreds of years ago or several months ago or so, whatever. that is not really changed. And there's a little bit about some drinking there too. 33% believe that it's okay to drive after three drinks. But what's even more startling is the sleep deprivation. People are now believing, I think it's 33% believe that's susceptible to drive less than 4 hours of sleep.
I'm one of those.
And let me say, as an accident attorney, personal injury attorney, when we actually take a sleep deprived defendant driver, and we view them in the same eyes as we do a drunk driver,
like if you were going to do the sobriety test or something like that.
Yeah, because it's still an impairment, and it's a very significant impairment. And for example, very often in trucking accident cases, that's the first thing that any conscientious attorney is going to do is a deep record search to find out the log time and log hours of the truck driver, because of course they're by federal regulations they've got to have some sleep, get behind the wheel. But sometimes we people think that is, we lay people, normal people, non-truck drivers, we think it's fine to get behind the wheel after we've only had a few hours sleep.
Well, let's couple these two last things together. A lot of people may go to bed drunk and they get up in the morning and they've slept it off, but legally they're still intoxicated. Well, that happens all the time.
They think they're okay, but they're probably even worse off because they still got some alcohol in the system and they haven't had really a very good night's sleep. So, but here, get back to this distraction again and how favorable we try to view ourselves. is that 2/3 of drivers have felt unsafe because of another driver's distraction, but just 25% feel their own distractions have put themselves or others at risk.
So you recognize when other people are being erratic because of it, but you don't think you do it.
We're quick to call it out when it's somebody else, but us, oh, no, I can do that. Oh,
what is the appropriate amount of time before you tap your horn to the person in front of you who obviously doesn't know the light is green because they're staring at their phone? I get to this point where I don't want to be too quick on the draw because that's not cool, but I'm not waiting there all day. And yesterday, I was in Mount Pleasant. And I think it was up near Mathis Ferry on 17. And it was just somebody in a minivan. And then the car ahead of them was halfway down almost the town center. And I mean, I'm exaggerating a little. But I got to the point where I had to do like the love pad. It wasn't like a New York hold it down.
Right.
You know, it's just like, you know, but I
think you got to do the little love tap. I hate those times you go to do the love tap, and all of a sudden
they start moving.
The horn sticks a little bit for a little bit longer than what you might have intended.
Mine is like, I'm reaching for it, and I have one, you know, one time or two where I'm reaching for it, and then they move, and I'm like, okay, cool. Because
as a general rule, we're not supposed to honk our horns needlessly, you know, on the highways.
Yeah, that's pretty, I don't think that's needless.
I didn't say it was. I'm just laying a little prefatory comment before I give my own personal explation. As you asked a moment ago, if you would just stay on flow here now.
Bench counselor.
I think it's a personal decision. Sometimes before I find myself honking at the person in front of me, whether it be that they're texting or maybe just listening to Box and singing their favorite song as loud as they can, I will, ask for a second, am I really in that big of a hurry? Or I look around at the traffic conditions around me and say, wow, traffic's really backing up.
Everybody else is moving and this one dope is not moving because he's not paying attention to the light being green. I'm not talking about rush hour traffic. I'm talking about this jerk needs to put on the accelerator and get out of dreamland and, realize that there are other people in the world that have places to be. Now, if the guy wants to sit on the phone, he can go over to the Bojangles and knock himself out with some bow rounds. Yeah. And I mean, literally knock himself out with some bow rounds. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to get to point B. Okay.
So tap on your horn.
That's
why is it a question?
No, listen, I can tell right away from your reaction already. You didn't tap on your horn. You laid on that sucker. You laid on that sucker hard. So everyone in the intersection was looking at you and complaining, Box. You've got to learn to get this anger under control before you get behind the wheel of a car. Because as you heard on one of my other topics here on the Price is Right episode here at Box on the Morning, is that anger is a very often a terrible contributing factor to bad accidents. Never get behind the wheel of a car angry. And if you are behind the wheel of the car, Box, do not work yourself up into an uncontrollable anger, as you just did here before hundreds of millions of people here on the radio land. Other than that, though, I love you. You know that.
So here's an idea for if you are one of those people that tends to see, and when I see a notification on my phone when I'm driving, so the phone will be in the seat next to me, I won't have it. If, like, a notification pops up or it rings, put your phone on Do Not Disturb while you're driving. That
what
way
I
you
like
don't
do.
Get any phone calls, you don't get any dings, you don't get any, it doesn't light up that somebody emailed you that you have to respond to away. Just put it on Do Not Disturb.
Or flip the phone face down.
Yep.
So, because it's like the shiny light, you're like, it's a treat, it's Pavlov's dog. I mean, it's like,
totally feel that like, urgency to respond right away.
Absolutely.
Like, yeah.
So I would say at the end of it all, parents, have a talk with your kids again. Let's keep them trained to focus on not being distracted drivers. Friends, remind each other. Just Jesse B. just here reminded us, you know, a good way to not be interrupted by those incoming text messages while you're at the phone, while you're in the car. And employers, remember, I know many of you are encouraging your employees. You expect this immediate contact. But remember that if you're and your employee are in communication, it can be a distraction as a contributing factor or an aggravating factor to the accident. And the employer is responsible for the acts of their employee during the course and conduct and scope of their employment.
This is something else to remember.
So employers, you may want to actually encourage your employees to pull over later or remember, say, hey, if you're on the road, I don't expect you to get
too much liability to let your employees do that anyway.
Especially
in a company vehicle.
But I want to give I'm here to give a little guidance, general counsel.
Helpful. Yeah. And if folks need something more in depth, from the John Price Law Firm, I know you'd be glad to help. How can we reach you?
You can reach us you can go to our website at johnpricelawfirm.com and send us a website email, or you can give us a call at 843-552-6011. We also have a toll-free number, 888-MR-LEGAL, which means MR as in Mr., And if you're a female and you're feeling gender compliant, you want to send to MS Legal for Ms. Legal, that's fine too, because it's the same doggone keypad on the phone. How about
this? This is so nice.